good success .com. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the privilege of learning at your feet again today. Thank you because no one will return back the same way. Thank you because everyone will have an encounter of a lifetime in Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, we pray for the strength, the wisdom, the courage to excel in business. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The topic remains strategies for winning in business, a biblical common sense guide. We started 3 weeks ago and we've been able to lay the foundation. And the first week, the focus was on the foundation of righteousness, the foundation of bringing glory to God, the foundation of every businessman knowing that this is all about God. It's for you to bring glory to God. Your excellence, your success, your blessings is about bringing glory to God. And then last week, the main point we took home was that know what problem you are solving, who you are providing it for, and how you're going to deliver the solution when you will do it. So that's talking about who you are sent to. It's talking about how you're going to achieve it and when you're going to execute it. So today is also another day. And then we're going to be talking about preparing to start, then analyzing where you are, and restarting. Preparing to start, analyzing where you are, or restarting. So that means the topic today is for someone who is just starting out in business, who has not even gone into business at all, or maybe you are somewhere in your business and you just want to analyze whether you are doing things right or whether you are not doing things right. And then someone who wants to have a full restart. Maybe you started wrong, you realize you started wrong and you want to restart totally. So the topic is for you today. So the first point we are looking at today is order. Order. It starts from putting order around your life. It's all about you. It starts from you. You need to first put order in your life. Understanding that the attitude of running a business is not the same as the attitude of being an employee. It's easy to be an employee under someone, to serve under someone, to be paid a monthly salary or weekly salary, whatever the case may be. But your goal in running a business is totally different. You can't think like an employee and succeed in business. It's totally different. There's a way to think in business. There's a way to think as an employee. The scripture we are reading today is Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made a firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. As I was mentioning, the strategies we are looking at today are for those who are starting out. And these strategies are also still relevant to those who have started even after many years. So we are talking about putting your life in order, a change of attitude. So you need to first prepare your mind that you are going into business. It takes faith, which the world will call risks, to be in business. No matter the business you are going into, it doesn't matter how much of a prospect it looks like you have. It's going to get to a point that you know that this is what we call a 50-50. You invest money in something, there is no guarantee that you're going to have returns. No matter how much promising it looks, there will still not be a guarantee because the money can be stolen, you can be cheated, anything can happen. Unlike a job, you sign a contract and the person has an obligation to pay you, you also have an obligation to do what you are required to do. But when you are into business, the responsibilities lie on you, the owner of the business. If things work out fine, it's because you are doing the right things. If things don't work out fine, it's because you are not doing the right things. So the responsibilities lie on you. So the first thing you need to be aware of is having the right mindset. Know that the mindset of a business owner is totally different from that of an employee. So you have to change your mind and be prepared. Now, the second thing is create a system to maintain order. So the first thing, if you look at our Genesis, what did God do? After he created the heavens and the earth, he said the earth was without form and void. Everything was in disarray. Everything was scattered. Everything was not in order. And that's the first thing that happened. And the Bible says the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And that's the place of research, which we are going to be talking about very soon. He saw that there was no order, so he put an order there. Your business will reflect your own life. If there is no order in your own life, whatever comes is whatever you do. Whatever you feel like doing is what you do. If you run a business like that, it's not going to work. So the first thing you want to do is to make sure that you put an order in your life. There must be a time to wake up. There must be a time to do this thing. There must be a time to do the other one. There must be an order. Perfect. So that's the first thing in your own life. It starts from you. Then number two, maintain order. If you look at that Genesis we read, everything God did was for everything to run by itself eventually. If what you are doing is you wake up in the morning and the same thing you did yesterday, you have to do it again today. After 1 month, the same thing. After 1 year, the same thing. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you are still the one running everything. Then you are not doing things right. There is no system around it. Look at God. Remember, the major focus is on believers. This business thing we're talking about. Now, everything God created, God put a system that will run it by itself, that it won't have to recreate it over and over again. That's exactly what God did. So for you to do well in business, you must first create a system. So whether you are starting out or you are already in business or you want to restart, the first thing you must focus on is creating system. After you already put on the attitude of a business owner, then you want to create a system that will keep you in order. For example, let's say you have staff. Each staff must know what they are doing at every point in time. Your staff cannot wake up in the morning and they are wondering, what am I going to do? What are my responsibilities? They must be clearly stated and they must know what they are supposed to do. If there is no work to do, there must be something else they can do, because you are not helping them when they even remain idle. So you want to create a system. Look at God. If you look at that Genesis we read earlier, you will see that what God did was, he says, let there be light. He said the light was good. He divided the light. After God creates something, then he divides. He separates. He says, oh, this one should be like this. This one should be in this particular place. Let there be a light in the morning. Let there be one in the night. That's talking about creating a system, an order that will keep things running by itself. So that's what you want to do for your business. You want things to keep running and running even when you are not there. When I started out, in fact, I would call myself the employee of my staff, because if I'm not there, they can't do anything. And even when I'm there, they are still going to be asking me things. I said, no. I don't want to be their employees. I employ them to make my life better. Then I started creating a system. It's not perfect yet, but I started creating a system. Right now, I talk to them like once or twice a day, and it's really better for me. Now I can focus on other things because I hire them to do things for me, not for me to do things for them. So that's what you want to focus on. You want to create that system. Look at things in your life you want to take away. For example, you are probably very good at some things. That's where you are very good. You want to look at how you can find a way to let others do some things for you. If you have to pay them, they don't even have to become full-time staff. They may just be people you pay, like vendors, so to say. Vendors, freelancers, whatever. Let them do those things. You are becoming a blessing to them. They are also becoming a blessing to their own family. But your life is becoming more effective because now you can focus on the things that matter. You must know what your time is worth. Each hour, what is the worth of each hour? Is your hour worth 1,000 or 200 or 1,000? Now, if your time is worth, let's say, 1,000 naira, and you are now spending that time to do what is only worth 100 naira, then you are wasting time, you are wasting resources. You want to let other people take care of those little things. You are becoming a blessing to them. The little you are giving them is a lot to them. So let them do it. You are becoming a blessing to them. and then you focus on other things. Do you know that unbelievers know these things very well, and a lot of believers don't know it? Go to the garage, all those agberos in quotes. Go and look at how those people delegate things. There are people who sell things to them. There are people who wash their cars. You may think, oh, they don't have a lot of money, but they don't do everything. They pay somebody to wash their car. They pay somebody to call passengers into the vehicle, and then the driver drives. Now, somebody who calls passengers into the vehicle is making some money. They've created a system around this. You may think they are not educated, but these guys know what they are doing. So create a system that makes things work. See what God did. Plants, before he made men, he made plants because he knew that men were going to need oxygen. Now, plants need oxygen, but plants first. After plants started giving oxygen, then he made men. Men started drawing oxygen from plants. Then he created rest, day and night. It's easier to sleep at night than it is during the day. It's just normal. That's how God created it. He wanted a time of rest. He created reproduction. God's purpose and plan. Remember the previous week we were talking about vision. God already had a vision for men to fill the whole earth. But he knew that will happen through reproduction. But God did not create man and woman first. We're going to be talking about this when we talk about minimum viable product and all those things. God did not create man and woman first. He created a man. Then he separated female out of man. See, that's how God does things. He created water. Then he separated water above from the water below. He knows how to separate things. So now when you start out in business, you're going to be everybody in that business, but begin to separate things out of that business. Maybe you used to do the accounting, do everything. A time is coming, managing your books is no longer going to be profitable to you. Then you are going to hire somebody, whether full-time or maybe just once in a year or whatever, to do your books, to calculate how much you are even making. That person is very good at that. So you pay him a little amount of money and then you focus on other things. So God knows how to separate things. We are still talking about order here. Create order. Create a system that runs things. Now, see God. He created waste management. Imagine yourself not pooing for a week. I'm sure you know how uncomfortable you're going to be. But God created everything so that things will run. So what have we mentioned today? Order. It starts with order. It starts from you. You must be ready to actually put on the attitude of a business owner. It's different from that of an employee. Then we talked about a system. Then the third thing we're going to talk about, which is the focal point today, is do your own work. Do your own work. Now, a lot of Christians will always, I don't want to use the word spiritualize things. Yes, we should spiritualize things. Should I use the word religionize things? They make everything religious. Spirituality is good. Being religious is not always good. Especially the wrong kind of being religious. Now, somebody is starting out in business. He has prayed, he has fasted, he already has the vision. Holy Spirit already gave him secrets and all those things. But he now assumes that he's not still supposed to do some mental research. No, it doesn't work that way. I remember Bishop Oyedepo mentioning this over and over again. Now, God gave him a mandate to start a university. He's a very spiritual man. He has been in the 8-hour long vision. All those things are there. So many encounters. However, when he was going to start a university, he went to study universities that have done well. He went to study Harvard, all those things. He knew how they were doing fine, why they were not doing fine. Even when he wanted to enter into ministry, after 8 long-hour vision, he went to read how many biographies, maybe 32, I've forgotten the number. He started reading about people that did well in ministry. What did they do? What did they find? Praying and fasting, and even the revelations of the Holy Spirit will not take a place of these things. So research the market you are going into. And like I mentioned last week, you don't need to even invent a new business. What I mean is, you don't need to invent something new. Now, you want to say, I want to invent smartphone. No, you can only make smartphone better. No matter what kind of phone you create now, you are not inventing phone. The person who invented phone is hundreds of years back. But you can make phone better. Maybe you can do a phone now that it's transparent, like we watch in some of the movies. It's just transparent. It's not like the kind of phone we're using. That's innovation. You can bring innovation to these things. Innovation is what you need. You don't even need to invent anything. Remember, we mentioned last week also that you have to separate what you are good at, what you love doing, from even what you're doing. For example, you are very good in business, in buying and selling. It doesn't mean you have to buy and sell what you like. For example, just to explain that point, let's say you are into water. You are providing bottled water or sachet water or whatever it is for people. Doesn't mean you really love water or you love drinking water. No, you love doing business. But now you found that in this place I'm living, people find it difficult to access good and potable water. So let me put it in sachets so that people can take it. That's the idea of sachet water. Because it doesn't mean it's water you love. You love water, you don't know. It means you love to provide solutions for people. So your research, whether through the Holy Spirit or through mental research, reading books, asking questions, will now reveal to you whatever pain points people have. That's what business calls it. They call it pain points. Now, you want to know, let's say I want to bring an innovation. I see that, this thing is really making a wave and people need it. No, it starts from a need. What do people need? People need this thing. But others are already in that industry. People are already providing the service. Now, you want to say, how can I make my own better? Just by making your own better or doing it differently is enough. For example, your own difference could just be that you are doing it faster. And that's all you need to advertise. We do this thing faster. I provide food faster. I provide it better. Tastier is also another way. Just one thing. You don't even need to have everything. In fact, if you go to some places and you want to eat, you will sit down and wait for them to prepare the food. But you don't care about how long you wait because you know that the quality of food they're going to bring is why you are going there. You're not going there because of speed. If you want speed, you go to Mr. Biggs or KFC or whatever. That's where you're going to go to. Because you don't need speed. And everybody is not your customer. So look for one thing that makes you different and target those people. And do it so differently that people will look for you. That those people who are looking for that thing will now get you. And when you have that database of clients, then you can now say, now we are adding good customer service to it. But everybody knows you for quality food or quality service or speedy delivery. That's what they know you for. And then they begin to know you for other things. Just like we mentioned last week about Amazon. It was only books they were selling online. And everybody knows that if I want portable book to read books anywhere I go to, Amazon. And now most people probably don't know that because people don't read again. That's the truth. It's unfortunate, but people don't read again like before. But everybody knows that Amazon is the place you can get almost anything you want in the world right now. But that's not where they started from. So look for one thing and do it so well. It doesn't matter if others are doing it. You don't even need to reinvent anything. Do it very well. So that's it. Then, under do your own work, you must understand that you are permitted to innovate, which I've explained very well. Look for an existing product and offer it in a different way. Your difference is your selling point. It is your strength. Also, don't be scared to ask questions from those who have gone ahead. I want to explain this also. I was so surprised to realize that people who are my direct competitors in my business, many of them were so willing to tell me how they did better, how they did well. I met them on this networking platform and I just asked them, hey, you're in this business. I would like to talk to you to learn about how you did well. They said, why not? Just book an appointment with me. And I booked an appointment. One of them, I had to run away from the person. He was talking and explaining. He was filled with so much enthusiasm to tell me how he did it. In fact, I had another appointment. I had to excuse me. Sorry, I need to go for another appointment. I'm just trying to show you that people are more willing to help you than you can realize. Not everybody is wicked. So don't be scared, don't be afraid of asking people for help. Even those who are in the same industry, tell them, how did you do it? Everybody wants to tell their story. And that's why stories sell. That's one way to advertise, which we may talk about later. So everybody wants to know the story of how people made it. For example, when you look at pastors, business people and all that. For example, the story of Facebook. If it says, we started in a garage, and you're like, wow, I have hope. It's interesting because now they are no longer in a garage. So people are willing to tell you the things they went through and how they had their success. So if you're interested in business, then you want to ask those people. You'll be so shocked at how much they want to tell you how you can succeed. They don't even care that you're going to be their competitor. So don't be scared of asking people. And of course, lastly in that section, let the Holy Spirit lead you. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. So all these things in a natural sense, on the mental sense, may look good, but because you're a child of God, that's the advantage you have. You have access to the wisdom of God that can actually make you sort out things. Remember, that's what God did. He was sorting things. He was separating them. Some things that you even know that they are going to work, they are not for you now, and you may not know. It may just be in the future. So the Holy Spirit is the advantage you have to now begin to separate things, just like God did. Separated the water above from the water below. He separated waters in heaven. He separated dry land. He began to put things in order and in perspective. So you and I want to do that also. Additionally, today, we're going to be talking about strategies for winning in business. We are going to the core things now. So today, we've dwelt so much on preparing to start, analyzing where you are, or restarting. And that's why we have talked about putting your life in order and having the mentality of a business owner, which is different from that of a job or employee, then creating a system and do your own work. What are the strategies for winning in business? I'm going to mention just one of them today, which I believe we're probably going to expand more on next week. Starting small is part of the process. Don't be afraid of starting small. Every business you know of started small. Every business that is thriving well must have started small one way or the other. Anyone who wants to grow from the top of the tree is definitely joking. It's only the grave that people enter from the top. But if you want to climb a tree, you start from the base and climb it upwards. So in business, don't be scared of starting small. There is no big deal there. Even God says that, "Don't be afraid, you little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Start small. And the advantage of starting small is that, you know, you can learn and fail and learn without making so much noise. Imagine if Facebook just crashed today. Man, the noise will be too much. He's probably going to commit suicide because it will be difficult to handle. So many litigations will come against him. So many things will come because he's already a system on his own. When you are big, whether in ministry or in business, when you are big, you better don't fall. Because, like the Bible says, great shall be the fall thereof. But when you are small, if you fall, nobody sees you. You start again. You can even start 7 businesses when nobody knows you. Fail in the first one, go to the next one. Nobody knows you. You are still very small. Nobody knows. But when you become big, you better don't fall again. And that's why it's normal for children to fall. For example, my children at home, they just run, they fall, they jump up again, they cry. You think they will not run again. Forget it. The next moment they are jumping up, they are running. Because they are small, they are young. But when you grow, God forbid, if someone like me falls, everybody around will know that somebody just fell. But a baby just pass and say, "Hey, sorry, stand up, and play again." But you know, start small. And how do you start small? We'll be looking at that very deeply next week. We'll be talking about having a minimum viable product, which is exactly what God did. God wanted the whole world to himself. And guess what? He created one man. He knew he was going to need Eve. Yes, the Bible says male and female created them and all that. And you thought that God just thought it, it's not good for a man to be alone. He always knew that it's not good for a man to be alone. Because if you check the account of Genesis, you will see that this thing happened like it's almost like a two-way process. The spiritual part, the physical part. Even theologians will tell you that. At first, it said that God made man male and female. And then eventually started creating female out of men. What happened? The spiritual part was probably first created. And God already saw the spirit. And then a body. And that's why he created the body, breathed upon him. In fact, the Bible says, "In him we live, we move, and have our being." Maybe man was even inside God when he created him. And then he brought him out again. Whatever the case, what I'm trying to point out is that man, Adam, was the minimum viable product. He contained everything a man should have. Everything that you can talk about. However, it's in a small scale. It doesn't matter if you have a million. That's $1 million or trillion, whatever you have. It's not always good to put all your money and just say, oh, I have a million. Let me just start like that. Man, many people start like that. They also crash like that. But when you start, the minimum product you can create is what you are creating and giving to people. And those people become the, what they call them, the lab rabbit. I've forgotten the term. The lab rabbit you want to use to measure everything about that business. Even Facebook that I've been mentioning, I don't know why I've been mentioning today. They only started out in their campus and everybody loved their idea before it became a global thing. So, your family could be where you are testing your product. For example, you want to create a unique brand of drink or unique brand of food or unique brand of service. Why not look for friends, family, create it for them free of charge? They will be willing. Of course, they are not paying you anything. They will be willing. And then you ask them all the questions. They will give you good feedback. And then when you have the feedback, then you can introduce outsiders. And once you have that, everybody starts saying, wow, this is different. This is different. When your family says something is different, of course, you want to check. Are they just saying it to make you happy? You need to make them understand that, see, this is a matter of success or failure in business. Tell me exactly how it is. Friends, let them test it out. For example, you are into fashion business. Your friends can wear your clothes. They can test it out and tell you, hey, Oga, this thing, I'm just wearing because I like you. I don't like the clothes. And you know that, okay, my job is not done. So minimum viable product, we'll talk about that more next week. Just a tip of the iceberg. It's a very good way to start. And it means that even if that product fails, it fails with one or two or three people. And then you can now develop it. You can know what is wrong, what is not wrong. Then you can expand and expand. So that is how it works. So if you see in your life, this is a spiritual partner. So maybe your life, business or whatever, you see that things seem not to be growing well. Maybe it's a time for you to ask yourself, what is wrong with what I'm doing right now? Because it is the time for you to learn, to see whether it could even be something about your attitude that God wants you to know. I can guarantee that as a child of God, God prevents his children from success if he knows their mind is not right, if he knows their attitude is not right, if he knows that they are going to crash along the line. For example, what's the point bringing you up when you're going to crash? So God will rather keep you there for you to learn what you're going to learn. And the truth is, it now depends on you to learn fast. It depends on you to ask questions fast. It depends on you on how you're going to make these things work faster. It can take 10 years for someone to learn how to give. And if it takes 10 years, the person is going to remain in poverty, for example. If it takes 10 years for you to know what makes a business grow, the person may remain in his, you know, little kiosk or in the corner of his room forever until you learn it. So learning, doing all those things is part of the small process, but it now depends on how fast you want to grow. Your minimum viable product could be even your small stage, how small you are. There's nothing wrong in being small, but be strong as a small person. Be strong, learn all the things, then begin to grow. Use the same principles to grow, and then God will begin to put his blessings on what you do. We have come to the end of the episode today, and I'm taking this topic as slow as possible because eventually this is where most of us spend our time, in business, in our jobs. That's where we spend most of the day. So why not take time to, you know, explore and learn this thing? If you have been blessed in any way or the other, please just invite a friend. It doesn't invite, so to say, like that guy would say in his YouTube channel. So please just invite, send the link out. But thank you so much, everyone who has been joining every week. It's encouraging to see you guys, to see your faces here every week. And I'm so happy. God bless you also in Jesus' name. And I pray for everyone today that for everyone who has that desire in his or her heart to grow in business, to expand, to experience this thing called good success, I pray that the Lord God Almighty will also bring you that good success in the name of Jesus. Expand, increase in the name of Jesus. Whatever is lacking that has kept you small or kept you where you shouldn't be at this time, I decree that your eyes are open to see those things. Whatever you are not doing right, or whatever you are supposed to do right that you don't know yet, I pray that your eyes are open to them. Whatever opportunities also lie around you that you are supposed to maximize, that you don't even know of, that for some reason the enemy has covered your eyes from seeing, I decree that your eyes are open to see them in the name of Jesus. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. mighty name. Amen. Be blessed, everyone, and see you next week.
The good success has come.